Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Back, it's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Rick Lepsinger's here. He's our good friend, longtime 11-year member of our Brain Trust, president of On Point Consulting, co-author of Flexible Leadership, and author of Closing the Execution Gap, among other important works that he's accomplished, and a prolific essayist and columnist on leadership and management issues, and he's here to talk to us about a very important topic. And as I say, he's our good friend, Rick Lepsinger. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. So I know we're going to talk about you've got some ideas on how to do a better job of hiring people. But you know, a lot of people listening, Rick, right now are saying, look, I can't even get a qualified person to be interviewed, let alone how to do a good job of interviewing them and that sort of thing. These are really tough times right now for employers, isn't it?
Yeah, they really are. And interestingly enough, it actually exacerbates part of the problem because we get anxious. You know, we really want to fill that spot.
Yep.
So I know it's hard to find people. And what happens is you get the first warm body that kind of shows up, and you want to hire them. And the truth is that that's actually a big mistake, even though we're anxious to fill a spot and,
yep,
you know, get somebody in there. First warm body.
Especially if they have a legal driver's license and can pass a drug test. That's kind of, those people are like unicorns, yeah, these days almost.
Yeah. You just want to take anybody who you think would be okay. And again, the hiring decision is the most important decision that you're going to make because it has long-term implications. And the problem with making a poor hire is that it just sort of it just keeps the cycle going. In other words, it's hard to find people. You spend a lot of time trying to find people. You make a poor hire, it just keeps you in that cycle of looking and,
yep,
searching and trying to hire. It actually makes sense to be patient to find a good fit. Or, again, some organizations are actually trying to augment selection with training. In other words, find somebody who has sort of core, like, basic, and
right,
then we'll train them.
Yeah, hire a young person who's very smart and full of energy and train them. A lot of people are doing that. A lot of people are. Because,
yeah,
for one thing, there's a lot of young people coming in the marketplace. So there's a new crop coming in every year more than ever before. So that's helpful.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And the key there, though, is that you want to find somebody who has the potential to actually learn,
you, yeah,
know, and be able to develop in that area. Also, the challenge of hiring young people, like, you know, let's say just out of college or just out of high school, is that, you know, they haven't had much experience. They tend to turn over a lot. So,
yeah,
it really is very difficult to sort of hone in on the best target for your position.
Right. Well, one of the things that we do here on Main Street is we often go with our gut a lot. And you say that's a mistake.
Yeah, it is. Your choices really should be data-driven. Again, having a good first impression is useful. The problem with hiring based on how you feel about the person is that you might not really assess the extent to which they're a good fit for the job. You know, we hire them on personality. We hire them because we recognize or feel good when we talk to them. And what happens is we tend to, it's called haloing. Once we have a good impression, then everything about them is just good. And we fail,
mm-hmm,
to really see some of the potential flaws that might derail their performance overall. And once again, you know, you have somebody who you like, but just might not be a good performer in general. So going with the gut might be, is a mistake because it makes it difficult to really assess their qualifications for the job. And it's
years
not
ago,
just about their,
go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just say it's not just about their technical capability. It's also about their fit in terms of for the organization in general.
Years ago when I had my consulting company, one of the things I did was help my clients onboard management-level employees. And what typically what they would do is they'd say, hey, Jim, I need to hire, I need to fill a slot here, this manager or VP level or something like that. And they say, here's the one that I'm thinking of hiring. Why don't you go through the process and include him in, or her in this? Go through the process and see what's available. And I would go through not more than a month or so, 6 weeks or so process of seeing what was out there. And we never once hired the person that they thought was the person they wanted. We always what they considered to be, because I would just find who was out there. I'd winnow it down to two or three candidates maybe, and let them interview those three, including the one that they recommended. And they always chose another one, which they wouldn't have known about had they not gone through the process, had they gone with their gut.
Right, exactly. And that's also what you're also describing is having a more rigorous process in general, which is another key suggestion. Is to really have a systematic and rigorous process to vet some of these folks, to assess these folks. Your interview process should be actually very demanding. It's really, you can think of it a little bit as like a test. You don't want to make it sort of a softball or just an easy sort of in and out. You really want to probe and understand and find out what these people think, what their experiences are, how they would handle possible situations, and get some real sense of what's going on, but a data-driven, have some real data on the person, even if it's not a test,
right.
And there are some really good assessments out there, do a work sample. You know, have them out there, like, in front of a client, doing, the, you know, working on the computer, whatever it is, get a work sample to see what's going on. And I think you can make, even if they're on sort of a little bit of a probationary period, where you know, you're saying, okay, let's give you a try. But get a little work sample. If you can't do it in the interview, make it part of the process.
Mm-hmm. So, folks, if you're too impatient, and you're probably, and the truth is, folks, you're probably not the right person. I wasn't an HR expert, Rick, when I helped my clients, but I was better than they were because I was just passionate about it. I was methodical about going through the process. So, folks, it's probably a good chance, especially if it's a key employee. Probably a good advice, I think. Get somebody to help you with that. Take you out of the process, at least in the beginning, so you don't make a rash gut decision that might create a problem later. We got more of these tips from our good friend Rick Lepsinger after the break. OnPointConsulting.com. Is that right, Rick?
OnPointConsultingLLC.com.
Check it out, folks. 20 after.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.